What?
Just ask anybody from Hayward. I'm a funny man. I like this kind of stuff. I don't care what you think. As was noted, the topic that's been assigned to me is essentially, is it right for a Christian to get a tattoo or body piercing or any other such thing done to their body? And it's an important question for this day and age. In fact, the other night, Michael and I were over at an assembly, and in the parking lot up on the street lights, there was signs advertising a tattoo expo next weekend, I think over at the Cow Palace. And I don't know of any family now that doesn't have two or three members and that doesn't have tattoos and other such things. So it's a good question and something that a lot of people are concerned about for obvious reasons now. We've got people who get all kinds of tattoos. We get people now who are doing all kinds of body piercing. They're filing their teeth. They're trying to look like lizards. Other people are trying to look like vampires. So when we talk about tattooing and whatnot, I don't want you to limit it just to tattoos, but any kind of permanent body alterations. Now, regarding my nose, some of you think it's cute. Others think it's funny. Some like it, some don't like it. But whatever you think about it, pretty much all you can think about right now is this nose on my face. And I want you to remember that as we go through and talk about things in this particular lesson this morning. Because with this nose, I can take it off and it's done and put away. But if you alter your body permanently, it's not as easily removed as that nose. So it's important for us to examine this question. Is it a sin to get a tattoo? I noticed on the assignment that was given to me that it does not say, is it a sin for a Christian to get a tattoo? Because whether a person is a Christian or not, if something or an action is a sin regardless. And so the question is, as it was properly addressed in the thing, is it correct or is it a sin to get a tattoo? And if you are asking that question, I think it is to be commended. Because very few people nowadays even care whether or not anything is a sin. If they want to do something, they'll just go ahead and do it. Now, it is true that in Leviticus chapter 19 and about verse 28, that our Lord there prohibits the children of Israel from getting tattoos and from making cuttings in their body. Let's turn over there and look at the particular passage. Now understand this. God is prescribing morality for His people. And it is a morality that is touching every aspect of their lives. From the animals they use when they're pulling a plow, to the kinds of seeds that they will sow in their field, how they are to respond to one another in mercantile exchanges, and how they are to behave religiously and with their families. And in this particular aspect, or in this context, we find here this particular prohibition that we're talking about. Verse 28. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am Jehovah. Now, first of all, I want to take just a moment or two to talk about this whole idea of tattoos or marks in your flesh or cuttings. If you do any research at all, you will find out that the practice is very old. And you will also learn that in most cases, the practice had a religious connotation. People would tattoo or make permanent markings on their body in honor of a particular god or in honor of a particular individual that had lived and that they wanted to honor. Or they would, in many times and places and practices, make cuttings in their flesh or make some sort of permanent mark in order to demonstrate their allegiance to a particular god or to an idol. In fact, in Deuteronomy Moses warns the children of Israel to be careful that they don't take up these customs because they will be doing something that the inhabitants of the land were doing to honor their gods. And notice here in this particular text, he makes the comment here that you shall not do this for the dead. So there is a particular religious aspect to it. It wasn't so much so that they couldn't make marks in their body or put tattoos or paintings on their body as just something to do, but rather because it carried with it, and if people saw it on someone, immediately in their mind they thought of the religious aspect of it. And God wanted His people to be morally pure and separate and apart from the rest of the world. Now the question we have to ask ourselves is, does that principle still apply for us? Body painting marked social status. If you had were a member of a certain caste in society, you would have a certain type of body marking painted on you, perhaps. Or if it denoted some sort of religious value, you would have a particular marking on your body. Sometimes these markings were used as talismans to keep away evil. If you see some of the old westerns, you'll notice that before there is the big fight, the Indians would go and put on the war paint. They do that because they were superstitious. And those paints and the designs they used were used to ward away evil. And, or, if they were to be killed in battle, then because of the paint they had on, their gods would take them on up to the happy hunting ground. So that's why they wore those paints. It's a known fact that in the Southeast Asian islands, historically, what we would refer to as natives and others, they would wear faces, and they would make them very mean-looking, and they did that in order to disguise or to hide the fear on their face when they went into battle. So in all of this, what I'm telling you is that there were different motives as to why a person would mark their body, or why they would put cuttings in their flesh, or why they would do anything else. Usually it had to do with religion, or to make some sort of social statement, or to let others know where they were in society. For instance, if you were a slave, back in the Old Testament times, it was not uncommon to have your ear pierced, and to have lead or some other metal put in that ear, and it was put in there permanently so people would, if you escaped from your master, they would find you and know that you were a slave and that you belonged to somebody. So that was a reason why that was done. Today, of course, it's different. Why do people today want to mutilate their bodies? Why do people today want to put ink on their chest or on their arm or on their face or wherever it is they want to? Why are they wanting to do it? I think that's the question we have to look at and try to understand. Because I don't think you can go to the Old Testament and look at this particular verse and use that as a prohibition to tell someone that it is a sin to get a tattoo, or that it is a sin to get a cutting in the flesh. Now, I want to stop for just a moment. I know most of you are young, and it might be hard for you to sort of grasp this. The most important question that you could ever ask is this particular action a sin? Whatever it is you're about to do, whatever it is you might be thinking, whatever it is you might be saying, the most important question you can ask is this a sin? And it is absolutely important for us as Christians especially to recognize the fact that we need to be very, very, very careful when we presume to tell somebody that something either is or is not a sin. Now, God has determined what sin is. And God has made it clear in the Scriptures there are certain things that are abominable unto Him, that He hates, that He recognizes as sin. Those areas are cut and dry. But there's other areas that perhaps for us today people look at and they might be somewhat vague. You cannot go to a New Testament scripture and have the scripture say, X is a sin. And so we need to be careful to step in and speak on behalf of God and scare someone to the point regarding something that we tell them is a sin when perhaps it might not be. On the other hand, if something is indeed a sin, we need to be careful that we don't tell someone not to worry about it, that it's not sinful and they can go their own way and do whatever they want to do. The point I'm making here is that this question itself and regarding the whole idea, the concept of sin, is extremely important. And so this is an important topic for us to look at this morning. And I think it's good and it's right that people have concerns regarding this. Is it a sin to get a tattoo? If I make a particular cutting or a marking in my flesh, if I get something pierced on my body, is it a sin and am I now therefore going to be kept out of heaven for an eternity? It's an important question and it needs to be addressed. And so I want you to know that I entered into this with all kinds of care and concern, and I want you to not misunderstand me in any way, that it is important and I understand and appreciate the importance, but we need to be very careful about whether and how we decide if something is a sin. Now, the old law was done away. It was nailed to the cross, Colossians chapter 2. And so, therefore, we cannot go to the old law for everything and make any kind of decisions as to what applies to us today. And so, this brings up another question as regards the New Testament. Today, under the New Testament, there are some specific commands given and some specific prohibitions given, but there is a vast area wherein the New Testament does not tell us specifically, but rather it is left up to us, using some principles that are evident, to decide for ourselves. For me, is it right to do this or not? And so what I want to do now for a little while is answer this particular question, and maybe this is the more important question, the one that you should take away with you. How do we determine if a particular action is sinful when the scriptures aren't specific? For instance, smoking. There's no prohibition in the scriptures that says you cannot smoke. Or any number of things. Do you think it's a sin to pick your nose? Now, just because it's not sinful, does it mean it's something we should do? No. Does it mean that it's something we should do in public? There are certain things that we don't do in certain situations because we have a certain sense of decorum and propriety. Well, that should extend not only to picking your nose or other things, but to other areas as well. And it gets back to how do we answer this question? How do we determine if something is sinful when scriptures aren't specific? And here are some principles that I know for sure are valid and can be supported in the New Testament. And then what we have to do is, after we look at these principles, try to determine whether or not what we want to do in light of these principles would be sinful. First of all, in Romans chapter 12, first couple of verses, we are told that we are to follow Christ and not the world. Now, who is it that is telling individuals to get tattoos? Is it Christ and His church, or is it the worldly way of thinking? That is certainly a principle that falls into this. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, Paul says this. He says, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do. Now, what's excluded in that? Whether you eat, whether you drink, or whatsoever you do, he says, do all to the glory of God. Will getting a tattoo necessarily glorify God, or will it be glorifying me? Again, in Colossians 3 and verse 17, Paul told the Colossian brethren, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto the Father by or through him. Again, if we decide to do some of the actions that the world looks at and thinks it's something that's cool, is it something that is glorifying God, bringing glory to God, or is it something that's drawing attention to me? And so there is a principle there that stands, and we need to look at this question in light of that principle. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul there alludes to the fact that a steward is to be faithful. Now, if you don't know what a steward is someone who is in charge of something that belongs to someone else. Someone has something that's valuable to them, and for whatever reason, they can't take care of it for a while. And so they look around for someone. I need someone who will take care of this for me, so that when I return, I will have it back, and I know it will be in good hands. And so the person that it is turned over to is the steward. The scripture affirms that we are stewards over God's creation. And specifically, we are stewards over our bodies. And we are going to have to one day give an account for what we have done with our bodies. Certainly, we need to have the proper reference for God's creation. And our bodies would be included in that. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 31, as well as 2 Corinthians 5:10, Romans 14:10, and there's other passages, but these passages tell us that we're going to stand before God, we're going to stand before Christ in judgment, and we're going to give an account of the things done in our bodies, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Now, we wouldn't have to give an account if we weren't being held as responsible as stewards. So, we need to have the proper reference for God's creation, and our body would certainly fall into that. Again, that's a principle we have to look at. Then there is this idea of modesty. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9, we are told there about women being in modest apparel. Certainly that would apply to men as well. We need to behave and we need to dress modestly. And the idea behind that essentially is that we want to behave and dress in such a way that we're not drawing attention to ourselves. And especially in the worship service, we need to be careful that we're not doing anything to distract those around us from the goal of worshiping God and studying His Word. That's why wearing a red glowing nose would be inappropriate, because no matter what I'm saying, you will be looking at and thinking about that nose. Let me ask you this. Suppose Arnold Schwarzenegger was to be here today. And I don't know who he'd have on his arm today since he's divorcing his wife. But let's suppose Arnold Schwarzenegger came in today and he graced us with his presence. And he came up and he sat right here during our service this morning. How often would you be looking over at Arnold? You'd be looking at what he's wearing, who he's with. And every movement he makes, you'd be looking over at that. And you would not be paying any attention to what's going on in the service. We are to behave and dress modestly so that we're not in that position where people are more concerned about us, what we're doing, what we're wearing, what we're saying, and so that we're distracting them from thinking about God and worshiping Him. And so, maybe you might get some sort of marking on your body that might just do that very thing. People, it would be more distracting than it would to in worship service than it would to allow them to worship. Continuing on, we are to avoid lasciviousness. Now, lasciviousness is usually linked to sexual sins, but the whole idea of lasciviousness is anything that would lead to excess. Anything that would be to a point, wherever that point is, and it's probably different for different people, but where something is now overboard. That's all that that person thinks about. That's all that person's concerned about. That's all I think about when I see that person. And so that's another principle that is to be avoided. God does not want us to be that type of an individual, where we're getting all the attention, where we're going after something to excess, where we neglect the other things that God would want us to do. In Romans chapter 14, we're not going to certainly have time to read that whole chapter, and those of you who are younger, I don't expect you to get that now anyway. But the thrust of Romans chapter 14 is that there may be things that are right, things that are not sinful, things that it would be okay for you to do, and yet if you did them, you would cause a brother or sister in Christ to stumble. Paul says in those cases you should not insist on your rights. He says, in fact, in those cases we need to be careful to deprive ourselves if we have to, so that we do not do anything that would cause a brother or sister to stumble. Now, some versions there have offense or offended. Now, understand there, the word Paul is talking about or is using there has got a lot more to do than just saying something that might offend somebody. There's a lot of people that you can say something and they just get offended. That's not what Paul is talking about. He is talking about doing something or saying something in such a way that you will cause a brother or sister to stumble and fall away and to be snared or entrapped again in the throes of the devil. We need to be careful. Whatever we do, whether it's getting a tattoo or anything else, is what I'm about to do, is it going to cause a brother or sister to stumble? We must not insist on our rights, even unless if it's going to cause another one harm. Now here's something else, another principle. Most of the time, we cannot force another individual to do or not do something. And so sometimes when this question comes up, we have to be careful. The old saying is, the person convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. I'll give you an example of what I mean. Several years ago when I was still worshiping in San Mateo, we had a young man who obeyed the gospel. And he was a diligent and faithful servant of the Lord. He wanted to do what was right. And he was at the worship services and he was studying his Bible. And he later married one of the women there. But when he obeyed the gospel, he had a nice diamond stud in his ear. It was a nice one and it was a big one. And he'd had it for about 2 years, and he wore it all the time. And he was wearing it, of course, to worship services. And one Sunday morning after worship, he came back to me. We're standing in the back, and he came up to me, and he asked me, he said, "Tom, is it a sin for me to have this in my ear? Should I take it out?" And I said to him, I said, "I don't think I can tell you whether or not it's a sin. I said, I can't point you to any scripture in the Bible anywhere where it says that a man shouldn't have a diamond in his earlobe." And I asked him, I said, "Well, why are you asking?" He said, "Well, one of the ladies came up to me and said I shouldn't have it in there and that it offended her." And I said, "Well, that leads me to how I'm going to answer this question." And I took him to Romans 14 and I showed him that. And I said, "Now, there is a principle here, regardless of what it might be. Right? It might be something you like. It might be something that's not sinful," I told him, "but there is the principle here that we need to be careful that we don't do anything that would cause offense or stumbling to another." And I said, "All I can tell you is you need to think about this, and you're going to have to just decide for yourself. Is this something I'm going to insist upon, or will I, at least when I come to worship services, take it out?" And about 3 or 4 weeks later, I noticed suddenly on Sunday it was gone. And he said, "I thought about it on my own, and I decided, you know what, when I come to worship services, I want to worship, I don't want to cause anybody trouble, I love these folks here, I don't want to offend them, and so I decided when I come to worship, I won't wear it." And then he said, "I might not even wear it the rest of the time." The point here I'm making is that whether or not you like something, or whether or not you think it's not wise to do, sometimes, in certain cases, rather than tell someone you just shouldn't do that, you're going to have to let them to decide for themselves. You're going to have to share with them certain principles. Here are some principles that we as Christians need to follow, and it may or may not apply in your particular case. But unless it is something that is just a blatant, outright prohibition or something that is condemned in black and white in the scriptures, we need to be careful when we point out to someone and tell them, oh, what you're doing is sin. It may be, or it may not be. Paul ends Romans chapter 14 with the statement that what someone does, if it's going to violate their conscience, to them, it is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Yes, the practice, and the practice that Paul is talking about there, is eating of meat offered to idols. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it, he says. And yes, stronger brethren can do it. But the weaker brethren who can't do it without violating their conscience, Paul says, to that person, eating meat is a sin. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So again, that principle there is, what might be sinful to me may not be sinful for you in your life. And so it's very hard to just come out cut and dry and say, oh, it's a sin to get a tattoo. It may be, or it may not be. The question that you have to ask yourself in light of all of these things is, you're going to have to give yourself a self-exam, if you will. In light of particular what's in Romans chapter 14, you have to ask yourself these questions regarding whether or not you want to do a tattoo or a piercing. And here they are. What are my motives for wanting a tattoo? Ask yourself that question. Why do I want one? Why do I want a tattoo? Another question to ask. Am I seeking to glorify God, or will I be drawing attention to myself? Or how about this one? Will my tattoo cause contention with my family? Will I be disobeying my parents in getting a tattoo? Now, we're to obey our parents. It's a sin to disobey your parents. So if someone was to say, I'm getting a tattoo and my parents have told me not to, then yeah, it's a sin because, not just the tattoo, but because you're disobeying your parents. Or how about this? Will this tattoo cause one who is weak in the faith to stumble? Another question you need to ask. Here's another one. Is my heart or my conscience convicting me? Why is it giving me any trouble in the first place? Maybe that's telling you something. Will I be bitter toward my brethren if I do not receive this tattoo I want? All right, I'm not going to get it. But I'm never going to let them forget they never let me get a tattoo. As soon as I find another church that's better, I'm going there. Will I be bitter toward brethren if I don't receive my tattoo? Or how about this? Will I want it years from now? Here's a good one. Will my future spouse approve? Could you imagine a wife marrying you and you got the name of some other, some other girlfriend across your chest? I use that word purposely because that associates with, there's a certain lifestyle and lingo that goes with tattoos, isn't there? So will my spouse approve in the future? Or how about this, and this is a good one, and this is an important one, and one that we really don't have time to go into, but it permeates all of it. Is my decision based on faith? Is damned. Paul in Romans 14 said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So we need to ask, you know, why is this even bothering me in this particular case? And then the greatest question of all, I guess, again, is does it glorify God or does it glorify man? I couldn't think of any other questions, but these are along the lines of the ones that I think would be important for us to ask. Now, I could not point to a passage of Scripture and demonstrably say with absolute certainty in every single case that a tattoo is sinful. Probably not. In fact, I have seen some pretty tasteful tattoos that people have in certain areas, and I enjoy looking at them as like the other person. But I would think in some cases that it would get to an extreme if you have some like Mike Tyson, you've got it, you know, it's all over his face. You're going to stand up before a crowd and preach the gospel and you got this thing on your face. Now, maybe if the crowd is a certain crowd, it might be a blessing. It might be a help. But maybe not. So I'm not going to tell you today that it is a sin to get a tattoo. And I know there's a lot of people in here breathing a sigh of relief. But I think the point, the question is not whether or not it's right to get a tattoo. The question that really needs to be asked is, when the scriptures aren't specific on something, how do you determine if something is a sin or not? And understand that we're talking about some serious business here when you attempt to tell somebody that something is or is not a sin. And understand this principle, and this is important too. There are things in my life that would be accounted to me as sin, but they would not be to you. And there would be things perhaps in your life that on the day of judgment would be accounted as sin to you, but not to me. And so we need to bear all of this in mind when we think about this. So, is it a sin to get a tattoo or body piercing? Yes and no. It depends. It's not expressly prohibited, but if it causes you to violate godly principles, it's not wise and may very well be a sin. Now here's the concluding thought and what brings us back to how I started this with the nose on my face. Why on earth would you make your job of serving Christ any harder than it's already going to be? By deciding to do something in a real obnoxious way. Just because you want to do it. Just because you're being pressured into doing it. Just because everybody else in the world is doing it. It's going to be hard enough to serve Christ. It's going to be hard enough to get people to listen to you. And to get them to come around to your way of thinking. Just as it is. There's no need to do and make it any harder for yourself by doing something silly that you might regret years to come. Now, I wish I could be more specific than that, but that's essentially what it is. I agonized over this thing for weeks and weeks and weeks. How am I going to decide this? What am I going to say? I can't tell somebody it's sinful. On the other hand, I don't want to leave the impression on everybody here that, yeah, you can go out this afternoon and get a tattoo. I don't want to leave the impression that it's sinful to go out and get your ear pierced or something like that. But is there a point where it reaches or overcrosses the line of modesty? And I think what we need to do is each one of us needs to sit down with these principles and ask ourselves and give us a good... If I'm deciding to do this, why? And what do I want to accomplish by this? Is it going to bring glory to God or is it going to bring glory to me? And if when I'm in worship services with my brothers and sisters in Christ, is what I have done, is what I am wearing, whatever it is it going to be a distraction? Or is it going to be something that will draw people's attention away from God and what they're there to do and to me? Or will I be there with those of like precious faith as an encouragement in saying and doing that which would help them to worship God in spirit and in truth? The lesson is yours. I encourage you to further study it on your own. There are some who are adamant and say, you should not get a tattoo. There are others who will say, well, it doesn't matter at all. It's not prohibited. I think that the matter lies somewhere in between. That each individual has to look at and see why it is they want to mark their body. What's their purpose? What are they trying to accomplish? And does it violate these principles that we talk to? So consider these things carefully. And I thank you and appreciate your attention. By the way, there's some maps up here to how to get to the park. I have placed on there also, if it's okay, a little handout for tattoos on the history of them, where the word comes from, etc. I only made about 50 of them, so if you need to make more copies, you can do that. But they're up there as well. That's what this extra piece of paper is. Okay.